Plant a tree for your tomorrow. It's your tree that clears the air. Plant a tree, trees for America. Plant a tree today for all the world to share. Taste the breezes, life inside you.
Speaking of planting trees, I went to the LEED Conference Center in Nebraska, near Lincoln, Nebraska, on my way to visit my son in Kansas City. And I'd always wanted to go there because this is our country's arboretum, if you will. It's where the National Arbor Day got its start, and it's an unbelievable collection of amazing trees. Some black walnuts planted in 1871, but just some tremendous trees. And they've got the conference center itself is worth visiting. If you're ever in that part of Nebraska, you need to do yourself a favor and go by and see that conference center. The inside of it is just amazing. They have these huge, like 60-foot trees that are the posts for this cathedral of an entryway. It's just amazing. You walk in and it has a big huge plaque on the side of the wall that's probably 10-15 feet tall and about the same width, and it says plant a tree, and then it has plant a tree in every language. There's dozens of languages and all sorts of scripts and in all these various languages. So the visitors from around the world who come see this can read Plant a Tree in their own language. But it's really a treat to. We went there on a Monday and they were closed, so we had our walking tour of the Arboretum to ourselves. It was quite cool.
And you said Kansas City and then Nebraska.
We're on our way to Kansas City.
You're on your way to Kansas City. But what city is this in?
I believe it's outside of Lincoln. I'm not sure exactly the name of the community it's in, but it is the LEED, L-E-I-D, LEED Conference Center.
Okay. We will put that in the resource links. And an interesting thing, as you were talking about trees, I've got my trivia questions here. What is the largest city in the U.S. that is designated as a tree city? You want the multiple choice options? New York, Chicago, Denver, or L.A.?
Well, the largest would probably be New York, so that would be my guess.
And you would be correct.
Oh, cool.
I never would have thought of New York as a tree city.
It's not easy to get your tree city qualification because you have to meet a lot of criteria and you have to uphold certain principles and continue with maintenance practices. And so I'm really glad to see a city that size achieve that, because that's good news for the trees in New York City for sure.
That is why they got Central Park. That's probably the big reason why.
And if you're just joining the broadcast on our flagship station, there was a ABC 9/11 special that ran the first half of this hour. You can join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. You can text questions to 411-923. Or you can email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com if you'd like to snap a picture of a plant or insect identification and send it. You can email it there. And we covered our tree of the month, which was the Canary Island palm. We talked about soil enhancement. What else is on our talking trees for today?
We just wanted to make a mention of the big monsoon we've had. This was an amazing monsoon season for those of us in Arizona. I just came down through Flagstaff the last couple of days, and the fields and the forest is just as green as I've seen it in a long, long time. It's beautiful, and it's just good news for our trees to be able to have this kind of a nice deep soaking as we head into the fall. Don't forget though, that now that the rains have stopped and the monsoon cycle is over. Need to kind of recalibrate our timers, irrigation timers. Make sure you're still getting some good water to those trees. Remember, deep soaking, less frequent, better to have a deep soaking to the bottom of the root zone. So let those cycles run longer in duration, and then don't water again for several days, if not a week, and to make sure that that root zone has the ability to dry out before you water again.
Well, and speaking of our great monsoon, and I'm sure your guys have been busy picking up a lot of trees that have fallen over or picking up otherwise storm damage. I saved an article out of Epoch Times just for you. This was from a couple weeks ago, but my neighbor's tree fell on my property. Who's responsible?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's the one who sustains the damage that ends up picking up the bill, or the insurance company for the home that has the damage. Even though it's your neighbor's tree that fell on your house, the insurance companies and the law works it out so that if the damage is you pay for the damage on your side of the fence, and your neighbor pays for his own. There are instances, though, where what if your neighbor's tree actually poses a risk to your home, and you suspect that it could fall and do some damage? There is a course of action that we recommend. That would be to let your neighbor know kindly. You know, you don't want to get in a fight with your neighbor, but you want to let your neighbor know that you think their tree could pose a risk to your home should a branch break. And there are things we can do to mitigate that risk. We can prune the tree to alleviate the end weight, to make it safer so it can handle the wind and the wind load. When we have those big storms that come through, it won't break a branch or it won't fall over. And if that doesn't work and your neighbor still doesn't want to comply with your request, you can put it in writing and send them a kind letter indicating your concern. Maybe register the letter so you can make sure that it was received. And then you might contact your local municipality to come on your behalf as a concerned homeowner and let them do an evaluation. Their urban forester that works for the municipality can provide a written report to kind of give you some a little bit of support in your concern. And we've done that in the past, and it does help to get some resistant neighbors off the dime and get them to step up and do the right thing and make their tree safe, either remove a hazardous tree or to, as I said, prune it to mitigate the risk.
Well, that is great information. I had no idea that if my neighbor's tree fell on my property, I'd be responsible for that. So
it doesn't seem quite right, does it? But there are things you can do to make sure that your neighbors put on notice that you are concerned, because then if something does happen, at least you're in a stronger position to say, hey, they were asked to do this and they refused, and the city has been notified. And if the city's on record as well, you might actually have the grounds for asking your neighbor to pay for the damage.
And you've got a talking point here on wood chips, and I know how much you love wood chips. That has taken over our broadcast previously several times. Do you guys do the chip drop program at all, or do you have your own customer base?
Well, we do have a customer base, but we get awfully busy sometimes, and our list is long, so it's a while before we can get out to your community to drop you some free chips. We're happy to do it, but we do, like I said, we get busy, and we sometimes it's difficult for us to respond to all the requests. So yes, Chip Dump chipdrop.com. is a great resource. If you're looking for some free wood chips, go to chipdrop.com and sign up, and you will find a resource that probably can get you some chips more quickly than the Save a Tree list, or maybe sign up on both and see who comes first.
What would you want a bulk order of chips for?
Well, wood chips have so many uses. You can spread them over a bridle path. You can put them down over areas of your yard where you don't want weeds. You're trying to do some dust control. You can put them in and around underneath your trees. Green wood chips are one of the best mulches. As they decompose, they're actually contributing nitrogen to the soil and all other nutrients, as well as they just as they shade the soil, they're holding the moisture in the soil, preventing evaporation of water from the soil surface. They're actually beginning to encourage a little bit better soil microbiology as they're breaking down into the soil. That little interchange of soil, that first inch or two of soil surface, where a lot of the feeder roots from our plants are, becomes more active with microorganisms, beneficial bacteria, and you're starting to see a different ecology within the soil itself. We talked about that earlier in the broadcast about soil enhancement. Wood chips on the soil surface are one of those contributing factors that can really cause your soil to be a healthier place for roots of trees and plants.
And it has a really nice presence to it, you know, aesthetically. Having that barrier around your tree of the wood chips just really enhances the beauty of the tree, I think.
It really does. You know, every few years I get a load at my house and I spread it all around my backyard. It smothers some of the smaller weeds, and the beauty of it is once you get a several years of wood mulch built up in your yard, when the weeds come up, they're so easy to pull out. You can just grab them and pull them out by hand. You're not digging them out or breaking them off at the soil surface. I hate that when you break off a root, a weed at the soil surface, knowing that root is still down in there and it's going to be producing another weed. And it gets harder and harder every year. Every time you break the top off of it, you know that carrot-sized root is just, you know, is never going to be killed.
Yeah, because the next year when it grows back, the weed is smaller and the root's bigger. So it's even easier to break it off there. And that root just keeps growing in size.
Yeah, at some point, you just do have to – I just put a hose around those and soak around them for a little while and then dig around them and see if I can get my hand on them and pull them out. But sometimes you have to wiggle them a little bit, get the water to run down along the sides of that tap root that goes down in deeper, and then eventually it will come out. But sometimes you have to just put a hose on, just a slow drip for several hours, and it will. If you can get the moisture down to the very bottom of that root, usually you can just dig around them and pull them right out.
Now, and you had mentioned going to the end of the last break that y'all are now offering a lawn service. Is it like regular lawn or is it just an overseeding service?
Well, mainly we don't do any mowing, but we do do any fertilization, any of the soil enhancement fertilization programs that we provided for shrubs, we also provide for lawns. So we like to, we do overseeding as well, but our main emphasis is on making your lawns beautiful and healthy. We do pre-emergent and post-emergent weed control, and then, of course, our entire line of lawn fertilization, which is really an amazing treatment. It's a seven-part treatment program that we do throughout the entire year.
We're going to have to add that seven-part to your talking points here.
Yeah,
cover through. Keep everyone up to date.